Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at InThisLeague.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
Welcome in, friendos, to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am the Welsh. Over there is the Bogman. We are ITL. It is August 8th. Baseball is coming to an end, Bogman. The playoffs around the corner. Trade deadline's ending. As we record this, we have a trade deadline that's ending in like 8 hours. And all we get, the worst trade offers. It's all that you guys are allowed. You're only allowed bad trade offers here. But it is go time, it is trade time, it is waiver time, it is time to cut players, and it is playoff preparation. Because what do you have legitimate in fantasy? You've got 6 weeks, roughly.
Yeah.
Roughly 6 weeks. You don't want to play that final week, maybe sometimes two. So 6 to 7 total weeks of fantasy baseball left, dude.
Yeah, it's sad that it's coming to an end, but it has. I mean, it's been a long season, I feel like. You know, I think this season felt longer than any other one. Mainly because of the drag to, like, are they going to start? Are we going to start on time and all this stuff? And this recent years have been so weird. You know, obviously 2020 was weird for everyone. We still had like COVID restrictions in 2021. This year was somewhat normal, but the whole season started late. So it's like 2023 is going to be the first real, normal, regular baseball season in 3 years when we finally get to it. Yeah. But it is whittling down now to the final hour. It's time to make your push, time to, you know, do those trades in your dynasty leagues, figure out it's time to quit being nice, start getting real Welsh, right?
That's exactly what I've always said. That we're gonna stop
that's been
being
your
nice,
thing. Yeah,
and we're going to get real. You want to know something
since
crazy
1991,
too?
That's been your thing.
3-game win streak over in Tout. I have just passed Mr. Nick Pollock pitcher list in Tout.
Oh.
We're near the bottom, though, so it's not a big thing to be proud of, but I do want to point out.
Yeah, but you're not on the bottom. That's
I have
matters.
The last 2 weeks. I have
you ain't the bottom feeder.
I've beat 2 top 4 teams, and it actually is. It's it actually make me feel OK because I didn't do super well last year in Tout. Took me a long time to adjust to multiple things. I not just points, but it's auction points. The site I hate on Roto, I absolutely hate it. And you know, just of like how these guys run stuff, they're the site is really weird. Like, just some specifics,
it's a bad system. Like, I know it's Todd Zola's thing, and I don't mind Todd Zola at all, but it's awful. On Roto is terrible.
I just don't like
it's crappy. It's from the 90s when the internet just started. That is what On Roto is from.
But like I said before, it's that old school baseball thing as well, where it's like, well, we're going to make the site kind of difficult because that's part of the strategy. The guys that really know how to use the site, it's they get the advantage. Awful. I don't want that. In this day and age in fantasy sports, it should be as easy as possible. And I know some people could be like, well, you don't want to make it easy for the people not paying attention. But guess what? Like, it's still an advantage. If you
What are you talking about too, by the way? You don't want to make it easy for the people that aren't paying attention. What are you talking about? You need an advanced degree to go and navigate the website. The website doesn't work well.
But see, that's also why what hurts fantasy baseball. And like, fantasy baseball already has things that work against itself. It's not in the big public eye. You've got more positional stuff. People have a hard time understanding
like us
average OBP. There's so much analytics. So I am a believer in that you should do everything you can to simplify the game so everyone can play it. Here's the advantage that people get, the active people. I don't think you need to have the site, and this isn't meant to be like a big thing on that. I just don't personally like the strategy of like, well, we're going to make a site hard, and if you learn how to do it, that's the extra advantage to you. No, because it's a whole nother thing. Now, to be fair, it is kind of like it's an industry-based league. So they're making it like that and blah, 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 excuses. But it actually speaks to this whole bigger question. I agree. It speaks to a bigger question of like, we should be playing and making fantasy as easy as possible for everybody to participate and do stuff and not get frustrated. At the end of the day, there's only one thing that actually really, really matters. It's activity. It's how active you are in staying with it. That is the thing that will set you above, not making pickups and seeing who is good statistically on the wire and then figuring out how to pick them up. But they have stuff that confused me in the first year. Like if a player came off the DL, you immediately had to activate them in the lineup or release them. And just little stuff like that. So coming off of last year was not great for me. This year wasn't really good. So I'm like, Jesus Christ, this sucks. But what's positive and making me feel better is I'm literally on an absolute heater as my team is 70% healthy. I'm out Bryce Harper now because I went three big hitting studs and then I ended up still getting DeGrom and Peralta. Well, I just went half a season, dummy me, without Peralta and DeGrom. I am out Harper right now, but I had Otani and DeGrom is back. Freddy Peralta's back. I'm on a three-game streak. I beat two of the top four teams. It's a good little boost I think needed toward the end. I'm not going to sit and celebrate and be like, hey, look, I didn't finish in the top five of tout, you know, but I finished six or something. That's not gonna make me feel good, but I am feeling good that I've passed Nick, and I'm feeling good that my team at 80% strength is starting to whoop ass. And I guess it just led us to the bigger question of like, yeah, let's not make stuff tough. Let's make stuff as easy as possible for people to consume, because then they're gonna want to play. You know what I remember?
Yeah,
is the Scott Fishbowl. I did not, and this, it wasn't an active choice, but I was very active the first year that I wanted. And Scott Fishbowl is like a big industry. It's like the TGFBI of football. And I was very active in like the first one or two times or something that I was on and wanted to be a part of it. I hated the site so much. I literally for like a week or two, I got so much going on. I couldn't spend a whole day figure out the pickups or whatever in like a quicker time span. I had so much issue with the pickups there that it was just like, I didn't try to actively get into the next one because I didn't have fun with that. And especially industry leagues, you want to have fun. I'm not saying I'm not having fun over there because I now understand on Roto completely. I know how to do it. And I've known that for this entire year. So that's fine. But it is a bigger question of like, the ease of everything I think is just so important in fantasy, not to harp on the tout or harp on Scott Fishbowl or any of these, but it is a bigger thing of like, you should make this stuff as easy as possible for people to get in on and, you know, not fool ourselves to be like, we don't need the random bull crap to be the toughest. It's just people being active. You know, people are going to care about football now, and the people that are locked in doing fab reports, going in, making their claims, those are the people that are going to win. Starting their lineups, that's one of the easiest things to do. Starting your lineup is one of the best ways to just win. It's just a bigger question on it, but I just wanted to let you know that I've been kicking a little bit of tout. That's all.
I just want to let you know I pulled my butt cheeks apart as my concho. So that was a big explanation there, but I think you're right. We've talked about this for a long time. It's, you know, baseball is a hard sport for casual people to come in and out. Yeah. And when you make the fantasy side of it, which is what has, you know, fantasy, football is already king. Fantasy sprung it even higher, right? Yeah. Yeah, fantasy basketball sprung basketball even higher. The second biggest DFS sport is basketball over baseball. Why is that? Because all this stuff for basketball is easier to use. It's easier to find. It's easier to access. You know, baseball, not only is it hard for fantasy stuff, sometimes it's hard to find stats. Sometimes it's difficult to understand the rules of baseball, the rule five draft. What is that? You know,
uniformity bogs. Like as you were saying, yes. This, like I'm thinking about the uniformity is really, really difficult because you've also got like football has a standard play. It's just it's a points-based format. You go and you rock it. Yes, there's half PPR and whatever. There's little intricacies. But baseball, you've got points are completely different than Roto and head-to-head. And it is difficult. Like, we want it to make it, I want baseball to be more popular. I want more people to want to play it, but there is so much that makes it difficult that, you know, also here's a problem with baseball. What does football have? Every platform puts every dollar they have towards fantasy football, the apps, everything. There's commercials. Matthew Berry, Jesus Christ, dude, Matthew Berry is on the sidelines of Thursday night football or Sunday night football on NBC.
That guy
doing
started with baseball,
stuff.
By the way.
Yeah.
Like, and Matthew Berry started with baseball.
Who's the version of that in fantasy baseball? There's none. There's no, you know, the remotely closest person is, it's like Alex Fast right now, who is working for MLB. That's the closest person we have. Matthew Berry is on. We don't have that. And then guess what else happens with baseball? One of the biggest platforms, one of the top three biggest platforms is behind a paywall in CBS. One of the biggest dynasty platforms, people hate the app and can't understand and is not user-friendly to people that don't understand it, in Fantrax. And then you've got ESPN, who doesn't care anymore.
They don't care.
They don't care. They didn't do anything. And then you've got Yahoo. So you have a 30% chance to like really make it easy and good early on, unless you can find some of the other stuff. It's just not, it's not friendly in that. So this is like a soapboxy thing of saying, like, listen,
we have spent
power to you guys that are still listening and still playing and still rocking with this, because you guys have the best opportunity to win because you're actively following who are guys that are getting called up. You're actively listening to shows. We're telling you about the latest news. We're talking through players and player debates and stuff like that. That's the best way. It's not taking advantage of, you know, how to click the button to pick up a player or whatnot, but good on you for doing it. I just wish baseball, all people would do a little bit better job of like, let's get like the sleeper app for football. Everybody loves, and it's the easiest site, and you can do a couple of clicks and people understand it and play it. There isn't that for baseball right now. The best thing baseball has had going for it as far as growth has been higher stakes cash leagues and NFBC. And guess what? That is full of sharks. That is full of like touted sharks that play big money and stuff like that. And, but best balls are good because it kind of, you can push away some activity. So I don't know how you guys feel about that. I just wish baseball could do a better job in general, and its biggest platforms work against itself, which sucks. But, you know, I'm telling you guys who know it, you guys have been playing for a long time, and you guys are the ones that win because you're still freaking hanging here, man.
That's right.
And I have.
That's right.
I'm better than Nick Pollock and Tout. That's the bad last thing.
I mean, and with Tout, you know, a big part of your success is obviously Jacob DeGrom coming back, and good God, did he look good yesterday? Unbelievable.
Let's talk about how good he looked. 18 of 20 sliders had whiffs on it. Maybe
that's,
I'm
disgusting.
Just, I'm a
that's the best pitch in baseball, obviously.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up. Was it Sunday or was it Saturday?
No, it was yesterday.
Oh,
it was yesterday.
Just wasn't going all the way over. Yeah, here it is. So I'm pulling this up. So Jacob DeGrom had a total, I think it was 25 swing and misses. And you know what's hilarious? Him going on the other side of, like, you know, maybe Spider-Man meme mirror for the future. Spencer Strider wants to be him type of guy.
Spencer Strider's cooling though, right? I mean,
he's been phenomenal, but he had a bad game this game. He had 12 strikeouts the game before, but he got his tits he had a training bra and those tits were lit up a little bit in this last one. But like, so he doubled swing and misses. DeGrom doubled the swing and misses on him. But check this out, 20 swings on sliders. So he threw 33 sliders, which was 43% of his count. Of the 33, 20 elicited swings and 18 elicited whiffs. That is a 90% whiff rate on a slider, which is maybe the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I don't know if we've ever seen something that dominant. 33% whiff rate on the fastball. He was literally slider fastball. That's it. No one could do anything on it. And he looked like the best pitcher in baseball again. Oh, by the way, hit 101.6 again, which on the, you know, just the roundup, we're back to 102. The fastest pitch in that game was actually Edwin Diaz, who hit 102. But on the broadcast, you would have seen 102 by Jacob DeGrom again. He did it. He's up to 100, has the best slider in baseball. His slider average, I think I saw a couple people posting about it. It was 93, I think. Let's see. Here it goes. It was 93.4. That trounces fastball averages by an S-load of dudes. I mean, Jacob DeGrom is stupid, and he's just slid right back into it. I actually had Andrew Seifter on with me Monday on Fantasy Pros, and we were talking about DeGrom, and I kind of asked him that same question that we've been going about, like, where do you put him back in? And I think everyone agreed, like, is just back into top five. And he went DeGrom over Scherzer. Do you feel any better after seeing two starts on DeGrom of just your comfort level? Doesn't do much here, by the way. Like, what does this help in fantasy right now? Just, you know, he's going and going. I guess if anything, the plus is the bet I would have made on him in leagues and being hyper aggressive to trade for him. The fruits are paying off, obviously, until the wheels fall off. Of course.
Yeah, look, man, I do. Anytime I see a start like this, I feel silly for saying, oh, I take Tony Gonsolin and all that stuff over him for the rest of the year because he, you know, but I did reiterate many, many times. Look, he is the best pitcher in baseball when he pitches. It's not a question. It's not a question. There is no question to it. It's, oh, is Jacob DeGrom or is Scherzer? But no, it's not. It's DeGrom. That's the answer to that question, which is not even a question anyone should be answering or asking. I mean, but does it make me feel more confident that he's going to stay healthy? No, because he hasn't stayed healthy, right? Like there are two facts here. Number one is Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher on the planet. Number two is that Jacob DeGrom has a problem staying healthy. Like, those are both facts.
That's true.
So
that's a good point.
This isn't Steven Strasburg, who is bad and can't stay healthy. It is just this dude cannot stay
on the field.
So no, I don't feel that much more confident. But like I said before, also last week, every start that he throws, I feel a little bit better when he doesn't have something happen.
And he
I'm gaining confidence every start.
59 pitches first one. I think he had 76 in this last start. And again, just think about that. 74 of 76 pitches were a fastball or a slider. Like just pure two picks. I mean, Patrick Corbin,
you can't hit it.
He's just pissing in his pants. Like, why can't I be that guy? And it's like, because you suck. Jacob DeGrom's amazing. But
because you suck.
I did cut
Corbin in a like long-term keeper.
I think I dumped him in AL or NL only at this point. There might be some deadlines still open. Would you pay the hefty, like top five overall SP cost for him right now if you were dead? Like, would you like pay?
No.
No? See, no. I still would. I would go all in because of the time he's missed the rest of the season. And I think they're slowly babying him in. Now that you got the 76 pitch start, you're going to go 90 and he's just going to go all the way through. And I take the risk. He gets hurt. He dies. But I'm going to take the risk of having the number one pitcher.
And look, that's fair. The whole reason I wouldn't push the chips in on him is because this is two starts coming back after missing the entire season. So I'm just not there yet. I'll push the chips in on to Grom for next year. If he gets through this year clean, next year he's going to be the number one pitcher off the board. And I hope that's where he gets to. I'm not buying into it for this year coming off that, you know, I just don't think rest is going to be good enough long term for that elbow.
Just so good. He's so good. We had a trade go down, which is so stupid that these happen, but it's a little bit different. It's not the non-waiver thing. If you guys saw this, actually just happened as we're recording this. Franmil Reyes was designated for assignment, which was just like eye-opening to where he was and has never looked right and power never developed and blah blah blah. And he was designated for assignment. And I thought I saw the rumor that he was going to report. But apparently the Cubs claimed him and the Guardians and Cubs worked out a trade. So Franmil Reyes is going to be a Cub. And I think that is a phenomenal pickup for them, especially a team that's just looking for any pop at this point. They're not trying to win, looking for stars. Pick him up, get him in the lineup, see if you can fix any of it. Put him there with Wilson Contreras, put him there with Ian Happ, see if you can get the power going in Wrigley. I actually kind of love that. He's been so bad. What I would do, though, is I would keep a very close eye on him and see if you've got a spot. I might even speculate to add there's maybe a change of scenery. This is just one of those guys with his power potential. And he was a contact guy early on. This wasn't like Joey Gallo. This is a guy that made a lot of contact early, but he has gone through some crazy struggles this year. I just love the change of scenery, and I would be keeping a deep eye on him the rest of the way through. Because imagine if he becomes a Cub and he just picks it back up. That's a dude that can hit 10 homers on the back half of this year. Easy.
Yeah. I mean, I was glad to see he went to a spot that he's not going to be a bench bat. You know what I mean? Like he can get in there and play from day one. So I'm excited about that.
Throw him at DH if you want to mess around positionally. Maybe you could do some stuff as well first. I don't know. I mean, he's always, it's so weird. Franmil always did like work at first, but yet just never played. They just kept him in the outfield, but it's the bat that keeps him up in the majors. I really like this move, and I hope they keep going with it. Hey, friends, if you guys want to support In This League, go over to InThisLeague.com and sign up on the Patreon. The redraft ranks are up, and today, I took the weekend, so many ranks to update. The Dynasty and Prospect is scheduled to drop Monday. is Monday. So top 400 dynasty, top 500 prospects. I've got first year player, and I may even be able to sneak in the P180Ps to today's update. If not, it'll be next week. You can get all those ranks at the $5 level, or you can jump up and be an LT or captain in the ITL Army. Get in the GroupMe rooms, have access to Bogman and I, get in with all the other amazing dudes. We've got other rooms for the Break These League events and just a whole bunch more. And you guys are supporting the, like that, that supports the live stream that we do. The Twitch, which is Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, which we do lots of insane different stuff. We talk baseball on there. Wednesday, Is It the Wheel is a great one. So think about supporting your boys, especially as baseball ends, because it does not end here at In This League, even though it does everywhere else in their coverage. Podcast goes on. Prospect One goes on. AFL coverage will be happening here in the near future. I will be there to cover it. So make sure you support the boys that support baseball when everyone else doesn't. InThisLeague.com, InThisLeague.com. Bogman, dreams do come true. Not all little boys get to live out their dreams, but some do. And there's a little boy on this podcast that his dream came true. His name is Scott Bogman. As the Diamondbacks took Mark Melancon off of the closer role. His dream is actually to be cut. It's a pseudo dream.
That's my dream. We're getting closer to my dream being realized. But look, Mark Melancon got the save yesterday. Now, if you were watching it like me, it gave you heartburn. It gave you terrible heartburn because he loaded up the bases before getting two outs.
Why is he so bad?
He sucks. He's never been good. He was lucky last year with good fielding. So the guy's terrible. I don't know what he throws mid-90s and he's not even hitting that anymore. It's low 90s fastballs. When everything works off of your 91, you're just not a big leaguer. And look, 91 is hard to throw. And I don't know anyone that can throw 91. Do you? I don't know anyone personally that can do it. So it's a tough thing to do. But that is below average for baseball. So
I did one of those like workoutings a while back, a couple years ago. And my favorite, I can never get Bogman to do it anymore. But we did it one time where they have the fast pitch thing at the spring training stadiums where they have the gun.
It's just the
thing.
Biggest ripoff. It used to be $10. Right?
Oh, it's a couple bucks. It's like $2 or $3 for three.
It is not $2 or $3. It is always like $15.
No.
And I can get a whole month of Brazzers for $15. $15 to throw three pitches? Give me a break.
$15, little man. Put that ball in my hand. Am I talking about Brazzers?
Yeah.
Or am I talking about the fast pitch?
Well,
I don't know.
You know, but one bag of that will carry me for like 3 or 4 weeks. So I'd rather do that
game. I like doing when it's a couple bucks. But when you and I would do it, even when I would throw the devastating cutter, it would be in the like high 50s. Yeah. I had a guy who did, he played high school baseball and I know he hit like 85 and I think he won for the day, but that was the big fast pitch.
I mean, the fastest I've ever seen at a ballpark was they're like, whoa, 86, there's a ringer out there amongst us, friends. And I'm like, yeah, and that is terrible for MLB. You know, it's awful.
Like, I think my high is like a 90, a 64. 64 I hit, not a 90, 64.
Nothing I've ever thrown hit star with a six. I know that. So
yeah, with 20 inches of vertical cut on the cutter. You guys got to see the cutter. It's absolutely devastating. It's a
big old turd.
Welsh cutter, DeGrom slider, you know, which is which, you know, Spider-Man meme. That's a Spider-Man.
I bet if we did RPMs, mine would be more than yours. I'll just say that.
Ooh, so. Really? I don't think so. Yeah. I got long fingers. I think I would take, oh, you know what? We need to get a track man.
We're going to get someone from Google to come track two fat ass dudes in their 40s.
I need to contact one of the facilities and be like, we just need you to do all. It's just the track, the spin, just track the spin on one of the really good guns or something like that. We got to make that happen. Are you coming out for first pitch? Did that get decided?
Probably not.
No, come on, guy. Come out.
No, I would rather come out for spring training and opening day. I just hope
do that too. You're
I hope the D-backs. I hope the D-backs open up like right when the season starts this year instead of a couple days after.
Here's what you do. Our boy, John. You just hitch a ride onto his hotel that he's going to get. He'll get some like penthouse suite. You pay for your flight and you just ride the coattails there and you come out during first.
You know, I think the term mansplaining came from you. I think you're the one that did it because you always like, I know exactly what to do. And you always explain, this is how you do it. Right. Like, Yeah. You're like, all right, this is how you do it. You hit the button to turn on your PlayStation, and the PlayStation comes on. You do love explaining things. So
I do. I'm a dad.
Yeah.
I only have like,
I'm just glad I broke you of the habit of calling me buddy before you say it. All right, buddy, this is what you do.
Okay? I got like 3 or 4 more years of like really explaining stuff, because when my daughter's like 9 and my son's 14, they're not going to listen to anything. By the way, shout out to my son turning 10 years old on Wednesday. So everyone give him a shout out. Little Welsh. Yeah, little Welsh. Parker turning 10, and it's a big deal. Big deal for him, and big deal for us. It makes me feel completely, completely old. And someday dad's going to have to pass on that cutter to the son. That's what I passed on. I got Bachman
while he was drinking. You son of a bitch. Oh, God damn it.
Bachman, I saw Bachman take a big old swig of the drink. Gonna pass on my devastating
pass on that cutter. Oh my god. And doing this while you're doing it also not good.
I was showing just the grip. That was the grip. All right, so Mark Manson, dreams are coming close to be true. Let's get through the rest of this, and we're going to get into who's been hot, and I want to talk some waivers. I think there's some important stuff in there. Ronald Acuna was scratched on Sunday with lower body soreness. That is not good. Did we get Braves play today, don't they?
I'm not sure. There's limited games today on a Monday.
They do not play today. So they're off today. The status.
How much has Ronald Acuna dropped? Like in your rest of the season rankings, is he still a top 5 guy? I mean, obviously he's still there. He's just down.
Let me take a looky here. No, that's actually funny. I think he's still a first rounder. I think he's still in that. Well, actually, that's a good question, because one thing I don't do is I don't do an overall in season. We can take a look.
It's
real
all
quick.
By position.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not. What that makes I really need to do, yeah. My boy, our boy Jesse could probably create our rank sheet where it would auto generate the overall, to be honest with you, which is probably a super smarter thing to do. But it's funny that you mentioned that, because I moved Acuna out of the top 2 tiers and I moved him into the 3rd tier. And this might have been controversial, Boggs. I moved Tatis above him, and Tatis is not even back. But he is starting his rehab assignment, I believe, today. He's going to San Antonio, and he should be back within the next week. So my assumption is from right now, Acuna has been – let's pull up. Like, what is Acuna's last 30-day – let me pull this up.
Here. He's got 9 homers on the season and 23 stolen bases, hitting .267, which is 12 points below his career average. 44 runs, 28 RBI. So he's not driving in runs. He's scoring some runs. So the stolen bases are there, which is great, which was the worry. Like, so like the overall, yeah, maybe you shouldn't go down. And for dynasty leagues, you probably shouldn't move down, because
I didn't move in dynasty.
Yeah, we should. You know, the stolen bases were the big thing that we were worried about coming off knee surgery, but that's been fine. So yeah, like his overall ceiling doesn't change.
So in the month of
this
July,
season, he's just been bad. Yeah.
He's hit .219 in July. Since July, he has 2 total homers. His batting average is actually up because he had this crazy June, nice June, which they're counting. But the home run total in the month of June, he hit 5 homers. That is more than every other month combined of homers. So Acuna's power has really struggled. He has not hit. He's hitting over .300 right now in August, which is solid. But I just think he's been limited. The injuries are kind of lingering. He hasn't been a .300 hitter. The power is out. Stolen bases are good. This is not being anti-Ronald Acuna, by the way. I just, like you said, I don't have him inside my top 5. I moved him down. And the Tatis one might be crazy, but the minute Tatis comes up, I really want to monitor those two against each other, because I'm thinking with Tatis back, he is going to go full bore, and it's going to be power, speed. He might be another Acuna all over, and I'm wrong. But to your point is I moved him down, and I moved him to 6 in outfield. And based on other players, here's what I'm trying to determine. So let's say I have 5 outfielders in front of him. I would go McClanahan and Burns probably over. I'm trying to look at other positions and players. Ramirez would go over. So that's 5, 6, 7, 8. Turner would go over. That's 9. Maybe Riley. You know, Riley or Acuna at this point. So maybe
we
that's
put DeGrom
10.
Over him for the rest of the year.
Alcantara and DeGrom. Ooh, that's a great question. I think Acuna might be right outside the top 10 of our top 12 first round rest of this season.
Yeah.
When he's healthy,
we're not gonna kill him for next year. Yeah.
No. We get into next year. We'll reevaluate. He'll move back up, but maybe he's at the back end of the first round. DeGrom versus Acuna is fascinating, because it's a total positional thing. Like, what do you need? But I think it's a fair trade. I think Acuna for DeGrom, if you were like, hey, listen, I'm good on stolen bases, I got some good offensive depth, I would trade Acuna or Jacob DeGrom in a pitching needy spot, I think, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean,
rest of the season, redraft. Just redraft.
Definitely not a heartbeat for me, because I'm still worried about DeGrom a little bit, but I understand it. It's definitely, especially with the way DeGrom has already come out and shown he's the best pitcher again, and it's not even a question.
Acuna's been not healthy also this year.
That's true. I mean, he's hurt right now. So, yeah. You know, I guess that's more of a fair point. I just, if DeGrom goes down, it's for the year. It's not like it won't be, it's not like this back spasms or whatever Acuna's got going on right now. He's just done. So,
Riley for the Braves has played 108 games. Acuna's played 74. So,
By the way, remember when everyone was down on Riley because he just overperformed last year?
And Austin Riley. Austin Riley has got.
We both
really
have had
parts.
Problems at O'Reilly's, by the way. We both have had issues. I had a racist guy. Yeah, I did. And you had. What did you have? The guy was just being a jerk there with the battery thing last time, right? Well, it's going to take a while or whatever he said.
Well, he was treating me like the dummy that I probably was, but it's like, I'm a big, tall guy. So treat me like you think what I look like. I would know. Like, you look at me and you're like, that guy should know stuff. He's a big guy. I don't know car things.
Because you look dumb. This guy probably knows about cars.
Totally. I mean, yeah,
he's overweight. I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah,
he looks uneducated and overweight. He probably knows about cars.
For me, it's the way I'm dressed. It's like, all right, this guy's wearing, you know, a Who Farted t-shirt and jean shorts. Like,
he probably drives Uber Eats.
Yeah, I have. So,
I know exactly. All right, Bernard, the rest of the Postmates. Yeah, you into Uber Eats. You're not a heathen.
I'm a classy person. So come on.
Tristan McKenzie had a career high 8 innings, giving up only 2 hits and 8 strikeouts. So
way better in the real game than Welsh is with them on the show. And we know that.
Yeah. So. We played a game the other day, Bogman and I. And McKenzie he was such a loser. He sucked, dude. He gave up a first inning run, and then I gave up like 3 more in the 6th. I was like, get him the hell out of here. And then I just couldn't hit. I had a bunch of hits off you, but they're all singles and like 1 double. So it was stupid.
I got a lot of double plays.
Lot of double plays. Yeah, you induced like 3 or 4 with Zach Gallen, which was really stupid. Alex Kirilloff's season is over, season ending wrist surgery, which is like the second straight time. And they mentioned this is going to be really interesting to track. I'm about to go pretty far out on Kirilloff, and I don't like that because I love the guy, but this wrist injury is now like 3 or 4 years of lingering. In 2019,
this is not a good sign. Yeah,
no, when 2019, when Royce Lewis was here in the fall league and I talked to him, we talked about Kirilloff's wrist injury because he had been out and he wanted to rest it, not come to the fall league. And I think he had a surgery, and then it lingered and lingered. And they said that he literally, his wrist just kind of like wears down and he's having surgery again. So repair the goddamn thing, get him to the right doctor, fix it. He's a $1 million man. And if they, but you got to consider this. This is going to hurt his dynasty value because this wrist thing now twice over 3 years. I'm not having this. And it's, he's a very talented player who I've said a million times, like his dad's a hitting coach. He's really smart, great loft. I love everything about him. But if he can't stay healthy, that risk is going to zap everything.
Availability is the best ability, right? Yeah. That's the old saying. So
that hurt a bit. I mentioned Fernando Tatis starting rehab assignments actually on Friday. He's going to start that. Hopefully it's not a bunch of games. Just get a couple and get him back. Anthony Rizzo didn't play this weekend after he was scratched with some back soreness, which I get the same thing sitting in this chair. Julio is going to be activated on Wednesday when he is first eligible. So we're going to get Julio back after Bogman cursed him. So
I did not curse anyone. Okay. I went to the game specifically to watch Julio and he got hurt. So, you want to blame something? How about no air conditioning in the stadium? Why don't you blame that?
So. Yeah, you're still mad about that. That's the third time you've talked about that with like, you're just pissed that they don't have AC in there.
I mean, it's a swamp. It's Houston. It's a swamp and you don't have the AC going. It's ridiculous.
I think what's really tough is like you and me, you know, you've lived practically your whole freaking life here in Arizona. Your waking life of stuff. Like, I know people in like the Midwest.
No AC.
Yeah. There's like people in the Midwest and stuff who will be like, oh yeah, we don't have AC. And I know it's not the biggest thing. Like, you have to have AC everywhere here in every single place. Like, That's not the case. 24/7.
I understand what you're saying. That's not the case. It was hot in the stadium. Turn the AC on. Like, people are paying an exorbitant amount of money.
The Diamondbacks, their stadium was always cool because we're used to it. You get to like the Midwest area. There's so many people. It's like, yeah, we don't have an AC, or hey, we just turned it on for the season. It's like, no, we always have it on. So we're used to it. They don't even think about it there. And yeah, I know that pissed you off because like, swamp ass.
It wasn't just me. Everyone there was uncomfortable. It wasn't just me. It's not just a fat guy thing. I mean, maybe extra because I'm fat. Yeah. Maybe I experienced a little bit more. But no, Joe's wife, skinny little thing, exhausted because it was so hot. We had to walk so far. So, turn that goddamn.
You know what I say?
I paid so much money for those tickets. Come on, what are you doing?
Fix it. That's all you got to do.
Did not like that.
Mariners activated Mitch Haniger, so they are going to have a new outfield coming back.
That's right.
Up. Did Kelnick get sent down on that activation? I didn't see.
I don't know. I think he did. I think that would have been in there.
Because I can't imagine, Winker just had a grand slam this weekend. I can't imagine they're going to
miss lately.
Because they're going to have Haniger, Julio, and Winker all back. Haniger probably DHs, but I don't know if they're going to run that. I didn't see any lineup stuff. We'll have to monitor that.
I'll look.
Yeah. Clayton Kershaw, talking about the injury stuff, he was given an epidural. So hopefully that is.
I thought that was only for ladies having babies, epidurals, but yeah. Apparently not. So
or pictures that take pictures with the Welsh. I found that picture, by the way. I got a new phone this weekend.
Shaky cam.
Yeah. And like, I was just making sure everything was still good. And I was on my Google Photos and I found the shaky cam with me and Kershaw. I really wish that one was not shaky. Of all the pictures, I mean, the Julio one is still the best, but I wish it wasn't shaky cam with DeGrom. That would have been a great one. Great moment for me. Stopping a Cy Young Hall of Famer in Whole Foods who nobody recognized him. All the hippies there just cared about their kale salads. And I'm like, there's Clayton Kershaw. A couple other notes and let's get to the stars over the weekend.
Kale salads. Yeah, oh, my God.
George Springer was placed on the IL with the elbow irritation.
Toro was optioned, by the way. That's who was optioned for Haniger. So.
Okay, so when Julio comes back, though, that's probably going to be Kelnick.
You would assume.
Yeah, yep. You would assume. Kyle Tucker missed the last couple games with an illness. He's had a lot of those this little past season. Just like, I feel like every 2 weeks we're talking about something with Kyle Tucker. And maybe one of the biggest ones, still no timetable for Mike Trout, but he's progressed to taking some dry swings. So he made a whole big deal about how, man, everybody is overblowing this. Well, it's August 8th. There's literally no timetable on what's going on with Mike Trout and doesn't feel good.
Yeah, like the guy was hurt, right? So he needed to be go to the injured list. But I think he thinks that everyone thinks that he's like done for his career. Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, I'm not done for my career. I'm going to be back. So, but this year is, you know, he says he's going to be back, but it's a big question. You know, the Angels don't have any reason to rush him at all whatsoever. So they won't, you know,
yeah, I guess just so. The way it is. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the big performances over the weekend, maybe even take a little look at the last 2 weeks. And we'll talk about some waivers. They're doing a little bit on Fantasy Pros, some interesting guys that are floating out there, some of the younger guys. And it brings up the big prospect question as well, what we're going to see the rest of the year, because I'm not so sure, especially with all the new rules. So don't go anywhere in this league. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what
they used to make
in this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
The IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
How about three homers for Rhys Hoskins this weekend? Sure wish I picked him in the home run contest. From Friday through Sunday, Rhys Hoskins led the way with the most bombs, but did not have the most RBI. Four runs, four RBI, hitting .333, bunch of walks, and three big shots. Would you look at this, Boggs? There were eight total players with multi-homers this past weekend. One of them was Cody Bellinger. In one game, though, he did hit .500 over the weekend with five RBI. He was not the leader. Couple runs, Cody Bellinger trying to salvage something. I brought this up on Fantasy Pros that even after this, you know how I feel about Cody Bellinger in general. I still think you can just be done with it. Like, I would not put it past him that Cody Bellinger could go on a run and he could have a month that salvages his talk next year. But I think just letting go could be one of the best moves. I presented this question, Cody Bellinger, Miguel Vargas, rest of season. They just brought up Miguel Vargas, who's kind of a stud. Yeah, really good.
Why does
hitter.
That feel so mean to me?
It feels mean. It does.
But it's also like, it's a legit question.
And so. The logic of it is this. Cody Bellinger is inconsistent. The batting average is garbage. I'm even willing to say, what if he did go on a tear and he hit .270 and he had a bunch of homers? But the argument to move off of maybe a guy like Miguel Vargas and just take a shot, you know, he can get good time, or somebody else you could throw out. I don't know who else is available to guys, is even if they don't work, you then cutting and moving on to another player probably is still going to be more worthwhile than Cody Bellinger. Now, in leagues that you and I play in, like the 16 team leagues, this is not true because there's nobody available on the wire.
Sure.
We play in a 12 man league. It's a little bit better, but we play deep benches. It's a little bit tough, but standard 10 and 12s. If you haven't cut Cody Bellinger, regardless of this weekend, dump off of him or trade him for something, because I just think in redraft, even if he goes on a tear, a little bit of a tear, it's just not worth the risk of holding that he does, and going literally anywhere else might make you more active. Make it an active offensive streaming spot. You know, get Tyler Naquin in for a couple games. Go move over to Austin Slater if he's got a couple lefties coming up in the lineup. Get Miguel Vargas in and see, you know, if the team committed to him now, they want him to keep going and he could play outfield and third base. That, I think, is a move that I would be comfortable doing, even though Cody Bellinger was half decent this weekend.
Yeah. Look.
212.
A nice game does not make it. And you know, we heard a lot of good stuff about Bellinger in the offseason. He was you know, cutting out some of the BS, he was working out, he tweaked his swing, you know, a lot of little things were made for his game, and it just added up to nothing. So
cut out a little bit of the Buffalo Soldier.
So what is the deal? Like, is it a fluke that he was good and won an MVP, or is it a fluke now that he's bad? Is it injuries? Is this all just injuries piling up on him?
That's a good question. I think it's hard to tell. I think injuries could play a role in it, but also it might be the maturation of the game. Like, teams caught up to study how to approach him. He never learned how to adjust. He has not learned how to adjust. Now, could he? I do think that's possible. There's a lot of time. But the adjustments that were made on him look exponential, that he does not know what to do with. And he's trying everything possible. Now, is part of it, you know, an injury that's been lingering, which we've heard about? He had the shoulder injury in the playoffs. Maybe. Is it coaching? I mean, the swing, how can you have like three different swings in a year and it changes absolutely nothing?
I can't believe it's
nothing.
The coaching, because that's the one thing the Dodgers have always had. Like, they bring over these broken players like Turner and Taylor and just turn them into all-stars, you know, Muncy, all these guys that were just okay, and you turn them into these hitting machines. I just can't imagine that the coaching is what's wrong with Bellinger. I mean, sometimes you get a specific coach and they can turn you all the way around, but the Dodgers have done this with so many players. I just can't imagine that that's the thing. So,
I mean, maybe that's the thing, but also, like, he just clearly, the wherewithal of being able to overcome is not in him right now. Like, that's something you want to see. He had a big swing. I remember back in the minors. I mean, the very first AFL we spent with all of our friendos, the championship Fall Stars game, he was there. He had a huge, big swing, and it was like Ryan McMahon, but he was able to adjust because he put really good, he made really good decisions on the pitches that were coming at him, but it's all changed. It's all different. He can't adjust, and He looks tired and done. You know, Dynasty, maybe he's like a super, super low, buy low type of guy if there's adjustments in the offseason, but we just don't know 100% what it is. Except Buffalo Soldier.
Jesse said he needs to be back on the sin spinach. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was about to say, maybe he needs to go back to whatever, you know, rumored.
Relaxing. It relaxes you.
Yeah. It's totally relaxing. So yeah, Cody Bellinger, one of the big performances over the weekend. Here's another one. I had speculated on Spencer Steer coming up for the Reds, and they brought up Jose Barrero, who at one time was thought to be the future big, you know, top prospect. Batting average stinks, and I hate it, but he did hit two homers. One of only eight guys to hit two homers this past weekend to go along with Dalton Varsho, MJ Melendez, Willem Contreras, three catchers on that list, and Trey Mancini, who we said was one of the biggest beneficiaries of anybody going to a new team. Jose Barrero, they said they're going to give him the run with Kyle Farmer at third. I don't feel great about the batting average, but Boggs, that might be someone you want to speculate on, especially showing some early power, especially if they're going to just let him do it the rest of the year. Like, they don't really, doesn't look like there's any sign that they're going to like give Barrero a week and then they're going to just move off of it. They're going to let him like do that. Why can't I find him either? Jose, do I need to do the, trying to find him on Fangraphs to give you statty stats.
I just can't. Type in Barrero. It's not coming up.
Oh, there it goes. There it goes. It was being funky with me. So far, I think it was just this past weekend, only hitting 149. This is going to be a little bit of a problem, Bob. You tell me. 57% K rate so far.
Not in four games. I mean, four games. Come on.
But he had a 37% K rate at AAA this year.
I mean, it's not going to be good. Just know that that's not going to be good. And this is what you get when you're a bad team. You trade away your good players. You're bringing up guys from AAA probably a little bit too early. So
yeah, if you're in a points league that is negative on strikeouts, Barrero might not be your guy. But just watch him if he picks it up. Yeah, there's power speed in him. It just looks like it might be going with a 220 batting average or 215 batting average, which is not going to be super great. You had a whole bunch of other, you actually had over 30 single home run outputs here. So probably dispelling some of our, maybe adding to our homer thing we talked about earlier. We thought months would have more.
I want to ask you about a guy here, Elaris Montero, because he obviously has been up and down and up and down with the Rockies, the whole season. A great ballpark for hitting. Dude's got monster power, and he looks like he really broke out against the D-backs this weekend. He had a great series against the D-backs. Is that someone like you're keeping an eye on, and you want this Rockies hitter hitting in Colorado, or Barrero with all the strikeouts in Cincinnati, maybe for a deeper league if you're looking for a pickup?
I guess I would go Montero because you're a Colorado hitter. I'm not super optimistic about Barrero. I'm not the biggest Barrero guy in general.
Okay.
Montero's big power, but he's also a big strikeout guy. 37% strikeout rate in his 17 games this year, but it was a lot lower at AAA. He's actually really never been. He had one season in AA where he was over 25, but it's always been lower. He's got big power. That would be a guy. You know who's a guy I would actually look at maybe more than both of these guys? If the Cubs bring up Matt Mervis is let me pull up his stats for you. That would be
Matt Mervis. Sounds like the secret identity of a DC superhero, by the way.
He kind of does. Yeah. Like maybe he wears like a big blue suit, maybe no cape. He covers his face
instead of Aquaman, like Waterman, Matt Mervis.
I was about to say he's like the blue, you know, Red Guardian from the Black Widow movie. Mm-hmm. You didn't see that one.
No, I saw the Black Widow movie,
the guy who's in Stranger Things. He's the
Okay, okay. His name is Matt Mervis.
Nasu question. Did he ask about me? Who? Captain America. Did he ask about me?
You remember that part? I just watched it last night. So
I saw it one time. It was not good. So
I actually liked it. I thought it was good. Matt Mervis has moved three levels. He's an older dude, 24 years old, with the Cubs. List him as a first baseman, big old body kid, 6'4", has 24 homers on the year, has hit 300 at all levels except AAA that he's at right now, but he's hitting .288 and under 25% K percentage. That's a guy that I think could really dominate, but it might look similar to Elaris Montero. So kind of roundabout way to say all these guys are a little bit dicey and questionable, but I would probably rank it Montero for now, then Mervis, and then Barrero. Because okay. I'm just not a big Barrero guy. Your run leaders over the weekend, 3 scored 5, Kyle Isbell with Mookie Betts and Francisco Lindor. Kyle Isbell getting a little bit of work in. Actually, let's take a look here.
Dude, that Nick Prado walk-off bomb. Did you see?
Dude, someone, wasn't that awesome?
Someone tweeted out the stat that it was 11 years to the day that he had a walk-off bomb in the Little League World Series.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome. Was that his first big league homer too?
No, I think that was his second or third.
Okay. First walk-off hit for sure. So
I will definitely tell you, I am having a lot of these moments right now where I'm like getting nostalgic because I have an incredibly vivid memory of 2017 on the backfields in Nick's very first game, watching him get a hit, videoed it. I talked to him after and he just wanted to sit there and talk. And we chatted for a bit and we talked about his first. And I just remember all of that like it was yesterday, not like a fleeting thought. Like I have some AFL fleeting thoughts from the very first time I ever went.
Yeah.
But this is like vivid. I was there for Prado. And to see these guys, like they're in the majors now, it's definitely weird. It's like my children growing up. Like now I'm hitting a space where, you know how like everything we do when you like you do online stuff, like everything's like net 45 days. You got to wait like 60 days before you get paid for something. And then you get paid every single month. That's what it is with prospects now. Like I'm going to get paid every single season with guys that I have like watched at their lowest level and met and talked to and stuff. And now they're just all coming up to the majors. And Prado is definitely one of those, but he hasn't looked super great. Maybe next year. He's such a good defender. He's just made bad contact. He's got some big homers, but that Royals team next season with like, you know, with obviously by Witt and Pasquantino and him. And also that's what I'm trying to point out is like Kyle Isbell, if he can get going, he just is not walking and the contact rate isn't super great, but he's one of those guys that could be like a,
little moments,
15 homer, 20 stolen base guy if he's hitting for solid contact, which he's not, but he was a big run
not
leader
yet,
here.
Right.
Not here. Your RBI leader went to a Royal. It was MJ Melendez who had 2 bombs. Was one of a grand slam? I'm forgetting now. It has to be with the RBI total. 9 RBI. Be.
Yeah.
Yep. He hit. He had a 14% walk rate to a 7% K rate on the year, and he's continuously kind of floated in that like, you know, top catcher echelon, even though, you know, he's only hitting 236, but he's got 13 homers in 78 games. He's like a little mini Salvi.
As a 3-run shot. It was Nate Eaton and Michael Massey. Like this weird lineup for the Royals guys no one's ever heard of, you know.
Massey's an interesting dude.
Melendez was leading off the other day. I didn't see that. He had 6 RBI yesterday. All of them were yesterday.
Yeah,
so Melendez. 3-run shot.
Melendez is kind of
Boston. Crawford gave up 5.
Ooh, yikes. Carter Crawford. Blech.
Darwin's and Hernandez gave up 5 also. So just not a good showing. Yeah, fart.
Paul DeJong back with the Cardinals had 6 RBI this past weekend. This was kind of that like, you know, get him right in the minors or whatever. Let me take a look here. In the month of August since he's been back up, it just went away. He's hitting only 222, but he has 3. He has a homer with 3 runs, 6 RBIs, 222. He played 2 games in July, 280s. I mean, so it's just much of nothing. Essentially, in the second half of the year, over his 8 games since he's been back, he's hitting 240 with 3 homers. So you can watch him. Probably a better bet than Barrero at this point, but nothing to get excited about. Adolis Garcia, always on the list, hitting 364, had 6 RBI this weekend. Bryson Stott, one of those guys that quietly, you know, I was so gung-ho about, actually going to probably work out a little bit for me. Oops. When, you know how I did, you do the ranks over on Fantasy Pros. I had Stott pretty high, but they only do by season. If Stott keeps this up, this might actually really help with my ranking of everything because he's got 7 homers on the year, but only 204, but he seems like he's been on a little bit of a tear. August he's hitting 261 with a couple homers and 259 so far in the second half. So Bryson Stott adjusting pretty well, and they
finally
Didi too.
Yeah, they DFA'd Didi, so he's done in Philly, which was not nice for my NL only team, but whatever. You know, but it's not like he was hitting anyway. So give the young guy a shot. So and now that Stott is finally hitting, I think that's what made room for it to happen. So
and Bohm has been pretty good too. I mean, Bohm has been
not a lot
of counting stats, so they just need to mold the weekend stolen base markers. So one of these is going to come to a waiver talk. Brian Reynolds had one. And Bubba Thompson with the Rangers, who got the call up. There's another one of those guys. Remember going to see Bubba Thompson. Though he's kind of showing exactly who he is. He had two stolen bases, but I think he got like one hit and a bunch of strikeouts. So Cole Calhoun is on the IL. I don't know if he sticks around, but if he does, he might be a really good source of stolen bases if they want to get an extended look at him. And then you had
49 in AAA this year, by the way.
Yeah. Also, like, do you have his stats up? Because I think he had like 13 homers, 15
13
homers.
Bombs. He's hitting 303 with 13 bombs, 49. So he had more stolen bases than RBI, 48 RBI, 49 stolen bases with a 355 OBP. That's crazy.
Crazy athletic guy who really, really struggled on pitch recognition at lower levels. Yeah. But what he's done is I think he got more hyper aggressive this year in finding his counts. And what that's led to is a higher batting average, but a crazy high strikeout rate. And what that will lead to in the majors is big struggles. And he's going to have to readjust again. And I just don't know if the Rangers coaching is going to be great for that. I mean, look at Marcus Semien and his struggle. I feel like the Ranger, all those guys that bounce back, like Semien just never bounced back enough. Seager hasn't bounced back enough. So I don't feel good about them developing this season, guys like Bubba Thompson or even Josh Jung, if he ever leaves rookie ball and they ever do anything with him, which I assume they don't. So those are your stolen bases. On the pitching side here, let's pull this up on standard. You have the link up here. Sorry. I was about to say I lost my thing when I clicked over. For standard, your strikeout leader over the weekend, I think, is going to be Jacob DeGrom once this actually loads for me here.
Yeah.
Because I think he had 12. Yeah, he had 12. Scherzer had 11. So you got multiple Mets on here as the top two. Four pitchers had double-digit strikeouts. Joining Scherzer and DeGrom was Justin Steele and Robbie Ray. And Justin Steele, who I have on our Bogman Keeper League, has been sneakily out there 9K per nine on the year with a 3.67 ERA, but a 4 walk per nine. So he's giving up absolutely no homers, pitching to a high BABIP, which is concerning, and he's walking dudes. If he can stop walking guys, this could be, this could be like real sneaky fantasy next season if he can stop walking dudes.
That'd be great. I mean, he's been one of the lone, you know, few bright spots on the Cubs this year. So if he can, cut out the extracurricular stuff, he could be very, very good next year. I think what you see is what you get. It's going to be a lot of strikeouts, and you hope he doesn't get blown up. You know, he doesn't allow the homers, but he might allow some homers. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, but the homers
hits, I mean,
there,
yeah. I'm sorry.
You mean walks and the hits.
Yeah,
and
stuff walks and stuff. Runs is what I was trying to say, not home runs.
Bright spots on the young side, by the way. Tristan McKenzie, we talked about, had the 8 strikeouts. Edwin Cabrera had 8 strikeouts in 5 innings. He did walk 3. He had some weird personal stuff that was going on. I kind of want to ask Mish about this. I don't know what was going on, but he's just kind of picked right back up. And Edwin Cabrera's stuff is so good. That's a dude I would go buy in Dynasty right now coming into next year. I would try to get a cheap Edwin Cabrera. He doesn't have a lot of excitement. I think people are lumping him in with kind of 6-0 and stuff. I would try to get a cheap Edwin Cabrera in Dynasty if I'm out of it for next season. Matt Manning, speaking of another buy low, 7 innings, struck out 7, gave up only 4 hits, but walked 3. George Kirby struck out 8, and I think he ended up picking up the win. And Reed Detmers continues to beast mode out, going 7 innings, striking out 7, and walking, I think, none. And in the last, let's see, the month of August, he has a 1. Yeah, so this is July and August. I think this accounts to most of the second half here. He has in July a 1.13 ERA over 24 innings, struck out 31. And in August, he only has this one start where he struck out 7. In the second half, they list, he has a 0.95 ERA of over 19 innings in the quote second half, which obviously is between July. Him coming back, he has figured it out. Whatever he lost, the command and the strikeout pitch, he found it back out, and he looks so goddamn good. George Kirby or Reed Detmers, Dynasty Boggs?
I'm still Kirby on that. But I mean, it's much closer. Detmers is obviously flash. He threw a no-hitter earlier this year, right? So he's shown signs of, you know, just being really, really good. I think I want Kirby for the long term, but it's close. It's definitely closer than it probably should be. So
yeah, well, you guys will have to see what I say at my dynasty list. I'm actually taking a look because I don't remember what I say. I kind of know what I'm feeling right now, and that might have to adjust something. But you guys can take a look in the next 24 hours what I've got on my dynasty list over at inthisleague.com. Let's see a couple other performances. Dude, Sean Manaea struck out 7 and gave up 8 earned runs. How do you do that?
I don't know. Sean Manaea has been a pretty decent disappointment for me this year. And he started, I feel like he started out really well, didn't he? But he has just not been great. Let's see. Yeah. So the second half has been bad. He started out 3.6 ERA in the first month, opponent batting average of 193, and then jumped up to 4, kind of leveled out in June. So you think, all right, July was terrible. ERA up over 5. This month he's only got to 4 innings because he's been so bad in August. So his ERA is 18 right now in his 4 innings. He's just looked not good for July and August. In his, you know, second half, 13 innings, his ERA is not almost 9.5. So just it looks like he's just tiring down the stretch. I don't know what's going on with him, but he has got to be better.
The other one that really stands out is Jesus Luzardo, who's just kind of back up to his tricks after suffering, you know, some of the injuries. He struck out 6 and 7. He only walked 1 and only gave up 1 hit in his last start. And it's really good to see him back with the big plus stuff. So that's another one of those guys that seems to be like a little bit forgotten that you might be able to pick up. Another dynasty buy low. I know this is crazy just because he's such a big name, but he struggled this year, is Lucas Giolito. 5 strikeouts over 5 innings. He's really struggled into this season. I think our buddy Nate Handy was calling it the year after Welsh predicts is why he wants to buy on Lucas Giolito right now, because I was big on him this year, is it'll come next year I'm a year early. And I just actually think he's a really good buy low because, you know, his arrow is so crazy, crazy pointed down right now. Something you might want to take a look at. Over on the advanced side, just a couple of your leaders from the weekend. Let's take a look at your K percentage. Your K percentage goes to Jacob DeGrom, a 63% K percentage. I'm going to also tell you, K minus walk percentage, he's going to be the leader too. 57.9%, which is bonkers. But guess who's number 2?
That's nuts.
Justin Steele.
Okay, it's Steele. Wow. Okay.
Justin Steele, 50% K rate and only 5% walk rate, 45% K minus walk percentage. Really solid. Edward Cabrera was number 2 at 47. Scherzer was 44 K percentage. Corbin Burns. So look at that. Edward Cabrera and Justin Steele in between DeGrom, Scherzer, and Burns as far as like the overall K percentage, which is interesting to see. Then you compare it where we minus the walks. Steele had the second best K minus walk percentage. Kirby had a 32%. Because he had a 32% K rate, a 0% walk rate. Cabrera, number 8 on this list.
Kirby's giving up hits.
Yeah. 7 players with a 30 or higher percent K minus walk percentage. Robbie Ray, Burns, Kirby, Yarlin Garcia, Scherzer, Steele, and Jacob DeGrom. And then let's go over the last one I want to give you is swinging strike and CSW. Your swinging strike percentage leader, of course, is Jacob DeGrom. By 10% more than the next guy.
Bogged. It's just ridiculous, dude.
31.6%.
Like I said, it's not a question. When DeGrom is out there and throwing, he's the best pitcher in baseball. It's not a debate. So,
and you look at him too, and you're just like, he looks like a guy that played high school basketball that became like an insurance salesman. Like he's just
kind of looks like the guy that you were singing with in our, he kind of looks like the guy that you were singing with in our most recent rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean,
a little bit.
The guy had a weird neck.
Like if Jacob DeGrom had a little couple birth defects, yeah, you'd be right there. So
yeah, you know. Yeah. Actually, you know, that's a good way. It's birth defect Jacob DeGrom. That's actually my if you want to see me sing a duet with a Instagram star, go. You can do one of two things. You can listen to the podcast at Bogman and Welsh Down the Rabbit Hole, or you can watch it on our Patreon. The video is still up there with, you know, different version of Jacob DeGrom. The guy's a little different. When people see it, they're going to be like, I don't know if this is really what Bogman meant, Jacob DeGrom, but he's skinny and tall, as I think what your comparison was. Number 2, Edward Cabrera with the second best swinging strike percentage over the weekend, 21.8. Robbie Ray, 21.7. You had Cease, Tristan McKenzie under them, but only 5 players with a 20% swinging strike percentage. Edward Cabrera really popping here, dude. Like really popping up. Justin Steele only had a 16% strike percentage compared to a swinging strike percentage compared to a 50% K percentage. So Edward Cabrera's line up together where Justin Steele's, they alter a little bit. Edward Cabrera also had the third best CSW of the weekend at 37.2. Number one, Jacob DeGrom, 42.1. Yarlin Garcia, again, 41.2. Merrill was in there. Luis Garcia.
Merrill has been awesome, by the way. I know people are, I'm trying to talk less about the D-backs because I know people don't want to hear about him, but Merrill has been great recently.
He has been pretty damn good. So those are your big weekend leaders of what you want to piece together. I think Edward Cabrera is a big key to look at here as a guy that you should either have pinpointed for streaming options or maybe pickups if you are struggling a little bit on the back. And I think guys like Justin Steele and Cabrera at worst are high-end streamers that, you know, pay attention to two-week starts and stuff like that. And at best, if you've got some struggles on the back end of your rotation, I go pick those guys up, take them off the market for other people, especially if you're holding on to loser relievers that aren't getting gigs and stuff like that, or just bad back-end pitchers. Those are a couple guys that you can take a look at. A couple others we'll do right after this when we take a look at the top pickups over the big major sites right after this on In This League.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Oh.
Starting with ESPN. Why do we start with ESPN?
Well, they're a week or 10 days or whatever it is. Yahoo's a day.
Stupid. Yeah, well, CBS and ESPN are 7 days. But yeah, the Yahoo one day thing is really dumb. I would love to know the numbers. Wouldn't you kill to see an active number list of like ESPN versus Yahoo versus Fantrax versus
like how
CBS?
Many users?
Yeah, like active, like what's really going on.
That would be great. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh God, I would love to.
I know
that.
CBS will do the number, like I think they have the actual number of pickups next to the guy. Yahoo does that too. They have the actual number of pickups. ESPN doesn't. So
stupid ESPN, but they do have a list for us of the most added players. Number one, Jose Miranda, who actually, that's funny that well, it's not funny. It's a correlation, people picking him up, but I gave Miranda a big boost. Funny also, Miranda, I don't think I told the story on air, but you and I know about it. Miranda was at the heart of a little tout controversy earlier this year, Boggs, if you remember, that I had with some guys.
Yeah.
He was at the center of one of them.
He's been hitting over 300 for over a month. So
no, but I'm saying like, he's great, but he was at the center of an issue. 11 homers on the year, 279 batting average, 47 RBI. I moved him up a good amount on the dynasty and the redraft rest of season. And I don't know if I have this up. He's a little tough because he qualifies at just like, a couple different positions, but one of the positions, I feel like I moved him up a significant amount, and I'm just not seeing the update if it was first. Because I think he qualified first, second, or third. Yeah, I moved him up into like tier five of first baseman, putting him with some, like DJ LeMahieu and Nate Lowe. And I think he could go up as much as tier four. He's a borderline, like starting first base, or you would love to slot him in at second base. Either way, he's been awesome. I'm shocked that he's under 40% owned. He had a 21% change up to 38.1% on ESPN, which is the number one most picked up player. Number two, Devin Williams for the closer. Only 54% owned, though, dude.
It's fine that I'm being rostered now. I just really wish Josh Hader was here.
I'm going to point this out. Also with number three is Reed Detmers, who had a 15% change, is now 37%. This right here, the top three, Miranda is 38% owned, Devin Williams is 54% owned, and Detmers is 37% owned. This tells you how much damn dead leagues are on ESPN.
Yeah.
That the biggest movers are the most active.
I mean, are best balls a thing on ESPN? No, I don't remember it. No one plays. It's only points leagues.
It's leagues. People tried to play head to head and whatever. This shows you how inactive ESPN is. Devin Williams is only 54% owned. We are getting close to the playoffs. Hader is gone. Reed Detmers has been lights out. He's under 40% owned. It is dead man's land over there. So it's good because this shows you the active ESPN people, but it really shows you how goddamn dead they are that Devin Williams is only 54% owned. Like, I mean, maybe I'm out of speech here. That's not a word. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. What do you think Devin Williams is on Yahoo? I'm going to pull this up.
85% rostered.
If he's under 75%, I will be shocked if he's under 75%. And let's see.
I only have one league on Yahoo anymore, and he's rostered in that. That's a 10-man.
He is 85% owned in Yahoo. So look at that. 85% on Yahoo, and he is 54% on ESPN. ESPN's dead for fantasy baseball. It's dead.
They don't care about it. So
and you shouldn't either. You shouldn't either. You guys shouldn't go play on a platform that doesn't care about it. They don't support it. They only care about the football. This is wild stuff. Or you know what they should do? They should just get people that care about it and want to better it, because this amount of inactivity is like unacceptable. Like it's insane.
I mean, they got rid of their podcast. You know what I mean? Like they're showing exactly, you know, how much they care about fantasy baseball, and it's not at all. I mean, we already kind of waxed poetic about this at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. I'm just shocked. Like looking at this, like this really to me showed like how inactive it is, that the big pickups, they don't really do a dent. Like it did a dent. Like Jose Miranda's up 21%, but he's not even 40% owned. Devin Williams, it's starting closer. Dynasty probably a top seven.
I don't want to harp on ESPN, but I also think that like the only reason people are on ESPN is because they've just never moved, right? ESPN was one of the originals. They were one of the first ones to offer fantasy baseball, fantasy football, any platform.
They're like, hey, it's an advantage playing over here. I know how to do it. I know. Yeah. Point.
Yeah. It's you couldn't switch people from ESPN to On Roto. I know that. Yeah. So, you know,
you know what? I'd rather play it on Roto than ESPN.
I would rather play at ESPN.
Much better. Again, that's the tough thing. Like they're doing a good job. Like they made a site. They're doing all the stuff. It's just, I don't like how the site is. It makes baseball tougher. I would think we would want to make stuff that makes it easier for people, but it just makes it more difficult, but whatever. ESPN's not doing any better. They're just like, yeah, there's points.
It's like how all those places that like Dave and Buster's, it's like, instead of charging you actual real money, they give you tokens. So you don't realize how much real money you've spent. That's kind of what that thing is like. It's like, we're going to make it real difficult. So you think you're spending a lot of time researching and doing plays. You're just spending all this time making your moves.
You're giving me anxiety because I have to take my son to Dave and Buster's. I have to take the kids to Dave and Buster's on Wednesday. That's where I'm going to be. So Venmo the Welsh and pray for me, or just send prayers too. Because
T's and P's towards the Welsh, please. Thank you.
That place is just an absolute disaster and nightmare. But speaking of disasters and nightmares, ESPN, Alec Bohm got the fourth biggest boost. He's now 43% on. He had a 15% change. Lourdes Ledmez Diaz, 13% change. Jose Quintana is only 28% owned in ESPN. That's nuts. I think he is a must add. I would, you know what? I think I would rather have Quintana rest of season than some of the rookie guys and their volatility. I just think he's been solid. And with the Cardinals now,
Quintana?
Redraft? Quintana, yes. I think.
Okay.
I don't remember what I did with my ranks. Now it's like making me second guess my roster.
I understand that because I do that sometimes too, but also, you know, you got to remember that ranks and draft ranks.
They're check this out. Different. Dude, I'm a genius. I know me. I have Quintana two spots ahead of Kirby.
Look at that.
Am I redraft
two
ranks
full
that I
spots. I like
at
it.
Least I'm, at least I'm following through with what I had to say. Kang Tana. That's not really. I was just thinking of Kang in the Marvel universe. What do we have? We had Jesus Luzardo, Seth Brown, Cole Irvin, and Felix Bautista. There's another one of those. Dude, Bautista's not available in a single league I own, but on ESPN, he's 17% owned. So,
yeah. I mean, closer. Look, there's part of that too, before we just hammer on ESPN every single time here. It's also all 10 man leagues, right? The majority of it is 10 man leagues. So
like, let's look at ESPN. Like, where is Felix? Where do you think Felix Bautista's at?
On Yahoo or ESPN? Cause you just Yahoo. Said ESPN. Yahoo. I'm going to say he is 65% rostered.
Cause what do we say? He's 17% on ESPN.
Yes.
He is 56% on.
Okay, right, I just got my numbers backwards there. 56
and
instead of 60.
Their algorithm, so. Too, they rank him as 99 overall based on the elite ERA and whip. He only has 4 saves, but he has 62 strikeouts of 45 innings, a 1.77 ERA, and a 9 whip. I would kill
top 100 player, according to Yahoo's algorithm, is 17% rostered in ESPN. That is great.
Yeah, that's pretty fun. The cuts, I mean, I don't know if it matters here. They're dropping Leody Tavares, number one injured, non-injured guy, Ramon Urias.
Okay, here's a cut. Don't even bother with that. Here's a cut I want to ask you. Clayton Kershaw just had an epidural, you know, no timetable to come back. They did an MRI, no structural damage, so he's not permanently hurt or anything. He's just
sore. You're not cutting him, though.
You're not cutting him?
Nah, why are you going to cut him? Like, are you trying to build the scenario? Like, you can't IL him. You just have
to. Look, there's a couple leagues. I'm not trying to build any scenario. I'm asking, what is he going to contribute to your roster for the rest of the year? When is he coming back, do you think? There's no timetable.
I think he's – Kershaw's the type of guy, like, when he's back, he's just activated and he goes. He's not going to go on a rehab assignment. It could be next week. And he's so good when he's there.
He's definitely going on a rehab assignment. What are you talking about? They're going to put him through a rehab assignment just to see if it creeps up again on him.
I don't think he missed enough time that they did. I think they just activate him, and he pitches a low amount of innings in his first start. They kind of monitor him. And
he's been great this year. You know, he has, in his 15 starts, his ERA is 2.6. His whip is under 1.
He's not a cut in any way for me. Okay. If you get him for the fantasy playoffs, if he's healthy, even if he doesn't do crap up until the fantasy playoffs, if you get him for the fantasy playoffs and he's gotten back to him, you have the best advantage you could possibly do. So I'm a Kershaw rest of season guy, but you're bringing
a good locker room guy for the rest of your fantasy team. Like Jesse said, I love that.
So, yeah. Yeah. You need a good lock. You need a guy to be able to pep talk up.
You need a guy that's recently had an epidural. You know,
listen, how can Justin Steele go to the next level on my fantasy roster unless Clayton Kershaw doesn't move himself down on the roster on the bench and say, hey, Justin, get this together. Welsh needs you. And he goes,
we got to make sure Freddie Freeman's in that same roster, you know, so no one celebrates.
And Justin goes, listen, Clayton, you know why I'm extra valuable? Because you can also put me in the RP spot. And he's like, you're exactly right. Thank God we know about fantasy baseball. Go team.
Oh, Lordy.
Boom. They high five at the end. That's what they do. Then they all right, let's go to CBS then. The number one added player on CBS, to be fair, was about the same percent owned that he is now on ESPN. Felix Bautista was 18% owned last week. He's now 57% owned on CBS.
And I like CBS.
39% change.
I like that they put, the change on here. I thought they put the number. Maybe that's the trades.
They do have the most traded. Yeah, we could always. It was one of the things like when I.
It is. That's where they put the number. And the numbers are low, by the way.
To be fair,
most traded guy in the last week who's traded 16 in 16 different leagues. That's it.
Who was it?
It was Dane Dunning. Then Charlie Blackman, Keston Hira. It's like all young and old. I need an old priest and a young priest, right?
I didn't really do anything with CBS prior to doing that like 3-month stint with Scott White. I will say the two things that I have taken over with me are I think their added drop page is probably the best snapshot of like really active leagues. Yeah. And I like the CBS scoreboard more than ESPN scoreboard. CBS scoreboard tells you more just by visually looking at it, and it'll give you all the homers and all that stuff. And I even like the read throughs better. So those are two things that I still continue to this day use instead of ESPN. More than anything else. So the other picked up guys, Jose Quintana, there you go. Number two, a 24% change from 30 to 54% owned. Still a little bit under owned over there. Jonathan Hernandez up to 33%. I'm guessing that's
Marlon might be back closers. Tomorrow, by the way.
Yeah, he's about to come back. I think he's activated Tuesday, like you said. Jorge Mateo, 40 to 58%. Yusei Kikuchi was number five most added from 34 to 52. The bottom half, Trey Mancini was only 71% owned, now up to 86. Alec Thomas up to 64. Reed Detmers, Devin Williams, 70 to 83% owned.
Fine.
And this is a big one. Miguel Vargas, 30% to 43% owned. That's the keeper league stuff, putting up the percentages. But Miguel Vargas is one of those dudes, like, you can never understand or truly know what the Dodgers are going to do, but he is there. And he's an elite hitter. He walks. He doesn't strike out a whole bunch. He makes good contact. He can run a little bit, and he's got position flexibility. It's literally everything they want. He's the type of guy that I think they keep around the rest of the season, and he gets value. I would just be picking him up if he's sitting out on wires in redraft leagues. I know he's not super sexy. He doesn't have big numbers, but as you can see, 43% on there, I'd be picking him up, man.
Yeah, it's funny. I think he was picked up in my 10-man league the other day, and they dropped somebody for him. I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't find it on here, but it's like they dropped like some decent name to pick up Miguel Vargas. And I was like, a 10-man? I don't know.
I think Miguel Vargas could be more valuable than Muncy or Bellinger the rest of the year on his own team.
So I'm mistaken. It was Franmil. The guy dropped Franmil for him, who got the FA. Oh, so okay. I guess that makes sense. But
better spot.
I thought it was someone like, I thought it was like Joey Bart or something. And I was like, I don't know. So
okay. Well, yeah. The most dropped players. Hey, ironic. Franmil Reyes, number one drop player on CBS. That's going to inverse here. He went down to 42%. He had the biggest change of non-injured guys because John Gray and Kirilloff are on this list. Raisel Iglesias was number two, still 71% owned. That's probably a lot of hold leagues.
Well, I was pretty happy to hear that Kenley's going to stay the ninth inning guy.
Oh, I bet. So, yeah, I bet. I
like that.
Leody Tavares, Nolan Jones, Ian Anderson, who was option to triple A.
Yeah.
Never been the big Ian Anderson guy. He was one of those dudes that like I never had super high. And then he came up and I was like, dang, did I miss
it? Was that Freed or was that it was Freed, right? That did the weird, he slammed his head on the turf and had to leave. That was crazy. Did you see that?
No, I don't think I did.
Dude, go watch Max Fried fall. Type that into Twitter and watch Max Fried's head smack on the ground. I mean, it's kind of ugly. Like John told me about it, I started laughing, and then I looked at it. I'm like, "Ooh,
yeah, here we go."
Probably not a laughing matter. And it looked pretty rough.
Oh, he ate it. Yeah, he was so. He
picked up the ball and threw it.
Yeah, he was
and
throwing it.
Did
to his
not
side.
Put his arm down to protect himself at all, and whacked his head on the ground.
Walloped the ground. That's one of those where your shoulder hits first, and the momentum then like it. It loads up your next.
That's the one time I've ever had a concussion was that right there. It's the same thing. I got wrapped up. We're playing football in the park. I got wrapped up. Someone tackled me and brought me down and my head went kunk on the ground and I threw up. And so I definitely had a concussion.
Yeah, I did that on a tennis court. Remember Bogman and I, we used to play crazy amounts of football on tennis courts out here in Arizona. Like crazy amounts.
The only thing that had lights on at night. So
yeah, lights at night. That's exactly right. So we would play on the tennis courts and stuff. And I remember like
I would play until the Palo Verde show, Palo Verde Beatles showed up.
Yep, and then you were done. Yeah, I caught like a touchdown, and I was like back walking in, and I fell backwards, and I just slammed my head backwards on the cement, and that was not fun. And
that's why he is the way he is now.
And that's why. And then I developed a cutter and I said, I'm going to baseball. I'm going to change the game up. I'm going to pass down, not the hands, but the grip to my son. That's what we're going to do.
No, I did not.
I
threw up and went home.
Taylor Rogers, Johan Duran, Connor Joe. Those are kind of the last ones. And Yahoo, not necessarily crazy to look at, but it did bring up a couple of guys I talked about on Fantasy Pros where it was like Felix Bautista is still out there. That was a big kind of fab pickup. There's a couple other closers like Hunter Strickland, Rowan Wick. Those are a couple of players you could speculate on. I think with the Diamondbacks play, I had speculated on Joe Mantiply a week ago, and it's going to work. I think it's going to work that they're taking him out. I think he'll get an opportunity. At least I hope. And then as far as hitters go, you know, you could look at Bubba Thompson for stolen bases. Miguel Vargas is someone I would take a look at. This is the type of year and the time of year. Don't be afraid to have a quicker trigger finger. On some of this stuff. You don't have time to maybe Bogman's point with Kershaw. I can't screw that up, but guys like Bellinger that have been dragging all year, get out if you need to.
Yeah.
Jordan Peele's always said it, get out.
Yeah. I mean, it's the time of the year where these guys, you know, quick trigger finger. So just cast them asunder if they're not doing anything for you.
Soya. All right, friendos, that is the episode. Go over to endthisleague.com, sign up today. Why would you not? Don't you want to support the boys? Don't you want baseball all year round? Don't you want prospect coverage and more? Get it all at endthisleague.com. And not only like the perks and stuff, but I know there are people, and I appreciate them that do it, that don't even think twice about the perks. It's like, we want to make sure, you know, and support you guys and keep going. And going to Patreon is literally what does that. So endthisleague.com. We would appreciate very much if you do so. Also, come check out the live stream Twitch Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/inthisleague. Come and check us out. You can always watch the replays. You can watch us live, or you can even check out the podcast. So come and do that, and we would love you very much, my friends. And that is it. We'll be back with you a little bit later in the week. Also, look out for Prospect One, where I will start to be breaking down the P1 ADPs for you Dynasty guys. It's Bogman. It's Welsh. ITL. Fantasy Baseball Podcast, we're out. Let's go win some more touts.
See ya.
Peace out. All right. So that's it. Leah wants to run out, but I'm going to see if I can get her to give me time to post this episode.
So I'm just doing that from the... stepbrothers. So, yes, you can go make bunk beds.
So tomorrow's going to be like packed with stuff. So we're doing, well, you and I got to talk about the secret show.
Hour one, and then rabbit hole, and then football. That's the plan for tomorrow.
Rabbit hole might need to get moved if we don't have a good topic. If we are like trying to piecemeal a topic, I think we need to move it to Thursday.
Okay.
Because
I was kind of thinking, because Game of Thrones is starting soon, maybe we talk about like most disappointing ending to TV shows.
Ooh, that's kind of a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I would even say most disappointing shows, like they pick up, because I've got a couple of those that like were really good and then they just fall off. And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
It is
that
like,
is a great one.
When you start to think about it, it's just hard to end a show, you know, like it's just,
but not even
and have everybody be satisfied. You know,
there's some shows that like, they just don't know how to go further. They don't know how to keep going and keep it interesting. Like there was, I'm forgetting what it's called. It was like The Flight or something. That's a really good one. No, like, see, Dexter didn't know how to end and go, but like Lost, it completely not only screwed up the ending, but it didn't know what to do with itself halfway through. But there's this one show.
They're traveling through time. Make them go sideways through time. All right.
No, but there's a show. It's on Netflix. It's about like these people on a plane that disappear for 5 years and they come back and they don't know they lost.
Yeah, Manifest, right?
Manifest. That's it. Manifest. Manifest's first season got really good. And the second season, I was like, what the fuck are we doing? It started talking. They like seeing ghost people or having vision. Like it became stupid. Like, so it didn't know how to do more than one season. That's actually a really good topic. We could do all of that.
Okay. Yeah.
So endings, and that's a good one. Okay. So we will do. So we'll do the live stream, secret show, and then we have football. And then you and I have to figure out baseball when we do the Wednesday one. So, or Thursday. So, all right, dudes, that's it. We're done. I'm going to hit end. If you guys have any show suggestions, hit us up. Thank you. We love you. Goodbye.
See ya. Bye.